I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The New York Times Magazine debuted the Sunday Serial, its first comic section, this past September. And the first artist they printed was F.C. Ware, better known as Chris Ware. It's not his first, though. Chris Ware was the first comic artist to be displayed at the Whitney Biennial in 2002, just after he published his first graphic novel. His work is not for kids, although his new collection is called The Acme Novelty Library Annual Report to Shareholders and Rainy Day Saturday Afternoon Fun Book. Fun, yes, but the characters also deal with loneliness and tragedy. And recently we asked Chris Ware, why did he call it The Acme Novelty Library?
It's strange to me that so many companies were actually named Acme, and so I adopted this as sort of a ridiculous nom de plume about 10 years ago for the title of my comic book series, because I thought it sounded really dry and kind of corporate, but also had a little taint of nostalgia to it. And this book just simply collects one-page gags and jokes that I did for the comic.
You say collects, but that really doesn't quite describe what some critics have said is a gobsmacking level of craft on display in this book. It's a huge book, page after page of just stuff.
I don't like white space. I don't know why. I don't want anybody to feel like they're being ripped off or like I'm taking advantage of my... I like to use every printable square inch of paper.
There's some of your strips. There's ads, like novelty item ads for X-ray goggles and Super Magical Live Forever powder.
I don't really remember any of the stories for any of the comics that I read as a kid, but I remember the ads very, very vividly. I studied those ads, and they promised so much, like if you sold grit or you sold those seed packages. And of course, I never knew anybody that ever sold grit or sold seed packages enough to get a bicycle or... I don't know who did those things. I don't even know how those companies stayed afloat, necessarily.
The ones I remember is the bodybuilder. They'd have the skinny guy.
Yeah, Charles Atlas.
Yeah. I mean, weren't those in the comic books,
too? Yeah, they
too?
Were. Yeah, the one with the little skinny kid who, you know, builds up and kicks the book across the room and then comes and wins, gets to make a man out of Mac or whatever it was. So, yeah.
There's a feeling of that.
Yeah, well, when you grow up reading comic books, at least in my age group, you weren't exactly the most popular kid in the class. So you had a whole lot of extra time to sit by yourself and draw in your notebook and try to avoid getting beat up when you went from class to class. So,
well, Chris Ware, we're going to ask you to lie down now and tell us more about that, because it does seem that many of the strips reflect the kid or the son of the, you know, let's say Rusty Brown, trying to think of it, Jimmy Corrigan, the kids who just, you know, are a little bit powerless.
Yeah, well, that's just, I guess that's kind of the autobiography of it, I guess. Maybe I don't want it to get too overwhelming or wearing, but that's just the feeling that I had as a kid most of the time, and I don't know, I just try to reproduce it in the stories. But as at least in this book, Rusty Brown is portrayed both as a child and then as an adult. And the story kind of revolves around him meeting another character named Chalky White, who is only just slightly more dorky and embarrassing than he is. So then all of a sudden he's got a leg up, and then he sort of starts to kind of abuse Chalky. I think that's just kind of human nature. You know, if you can find someone else slightly weaker than you, you're going to take advantage of it. And that carries well into their 40s.
Well, and then there's Jimmy Corrigan, the smartest kid on earth, who has just a miserable home life.
Yeah, he's kind of a lonely guy, too. I guess I really need to work on characters that have friends. I've been thinking about this for the past week. And I mean, I have plenty of friends. I don't know why I can't seem to write about it too effectively. You're on kind of time delay as a cartoonist, I think. It takes so long to draw comics that you end up writing about things that happened maybe 15 years or so before. Charles Burns, who I'm good friends with and who had just a book come out called Black Hole, that just finished, after 10 years, a book about his teenage years, and he also just turned 50. So that's about the sort of relative spectral redshift that we're on as artists.
Well, some have wondered, and I think you've said that you might be working through something with Jimmy Corrigan, because didn't Jimmy Corrigan's dad sort of exit stage right when he was young, and he had a little bit of that in your family?
Right. It was essentially like a sort of a fantasy on my part to see what it would be like to meet my own father, which then I ended up doing it right shortly before I finished the book. And then he actually died shortly thereafter too. So it was sort of I should have spent more time trying to meet him rather than writing about trying to meet him, but that's okay. But
well, and hearing this, it might be a surprise to people to learn that much of this is very funny. As you work through some of those things in your comic strips.
Oh, thanks.
The New Yorker reviewer said that Jimmy Corrigan, the smartest kid on earth, is the first formal masterpiece of the medium.
Can I disagree?
Yeah.
I would actually say I think that Mouse is by Art Spiegelman.
This is Pulitzer Prize-winning Art Spiegelman, the creator of Mouse. Art Spiegelman played an important part in your life.
Yeah, he did, actually. He was the first cartoonist to really take me seriously, and we talked on the phone a lot when I was young and trying to do serious comics at an age that's pretty difficult to do serious anything. So I thought the New Yorker piece was extraordinarily nice and very, very generous, but I do feel like, you know, Art should have that.
Obviously, that's someone one would want to give credit to. But as you reject the accolade that comes your way, we've been sitting here a few minutes waiting to talk, and the entire time been sort of, you know, Chris Ware kind of saying, I really don't belong here. This actually isn't that great a book, and you know, I'll be leaving now.
Sorry. Well, it's sort of, I just, the way I feel, I mean, I look at the book and it just makes me cringe, sort of. It just seems like like this concentrated kind of hubris or something that I've sent out into the world. And I mean, I did the very best I could to try to put this stuff together in a way that is respectful of the reader and hopefully provides some kind of emotional connection to life. But at the same time, fundamentally, it is a collection of jokes and gags and stuff like that that, may be fundamentally unjustifiable and probably won't appeal to a great number of people, but I, you know, I did my best. So. I'm working on, and that's the thing, these were all done while I was working on two serious stories that I'm still working on. It takes a really long time to do a comic book, like I mentioned. Charles's book took 10 years, so.
Well, graphic cartoon readers obviously are disagreeing with you, and besides, what other book is going to have in it a, well, how would you describe this that I've got open here right now?
It's a map of the heavens, actually, that I drew.
It spans two pages. And when you turn off the lights, what happens?
When you look at it in regular incandescent or tungsten light, you see the regular Greco-Roman constellations. But then when you hopefully hold it under a light and then take it into complete darkness, I redesigned the constellations with all of the characters in the book. And the stars are all exactly the same. And it took a little looking. But that's sort of one of the fundamental themes of the book is seeing what you want in the world rather than what might actually be there, sort of a self-preservation, because that's fundamentally what links all of the characters in the book together.
One of the strips that really stood out for us does not have any title, any dialogue. It goes on for 12 pages and doesn't even make it into the table of contents. It's sometimes called God or Superman. He's generally round, bald, and naked sometimes. Who is he?
Well, that's about it. You've covered it. originally, actually, he started out when I was drawing him as sort of a paternal figure in the Jimmy Corrigan story, and then I started doing this story of him on his own that uses no words whatsoever. It's completely in pantomime, though that's kind of a misnomer. Sometimes they're called silent strips. But yeah, he's a superhero. I figured since this is a comic book, it had to have a superhero in it. He can do whatever he wants, and he's immortal, then he's also could be referred to as God. So basically this story concerns him stealing a car and then raising a child. And clearly I'm out of my mind sitting here talking about this sense. It's so embarrassing. I can't believe I've done this. Watching you turn those pages, it's like I've never been in therapy. Maybe that's what this is like. I don't know.
Cartoonist Chris Ware. His latest book is called The Acme Novelty Library Annual Report to Shareholders and Rainy Day Saturday Afternoon Fun Book. Chris, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
I should charge him. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston. I'm Robin Young. Please have a wonderful weekend and join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, on the web at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.